The Supreme Court is set to hear the case of a former federal air marshal turned whistleblower on November 4th. Robert McLean was fired after he told the media about Transportation Security Administration's decision to use fewer air marshals on long-distance flights. This is the first case the Supreme Court will hear that directly involves a federal whistleblower. Joining us now with details is Matt Tully, founding partner of the law firm Tully Rinke. Matt, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. So this goes back more than 10 years. Just recap the story of Robert McLean.
Well, he was a U.S. Air Marshal back in 2003 when he learned of some significant credible threats pertaining to terrorist activity on airlines, specifically flying to and from a certain location. On his unsecured BlackBerry, he had two phones. One was a secure encrypted phone. Another one was an unsecured Nipper phone, regular phone. He received a text message saying that all flights for a certain period of time would not have air marshals due to budget cuts. He thought that was a conflict that would endanger the safety and well-being of citizens. So he contacted the Inspector General. He contacted members of Congress. Members of Congress went and took it public and complained that the Homeland Security was not putting air marshals on a high-risk flight, and ultimately the Homeland Security never executed that plan. They allocated additional resources and made sure that those airplanes were protected. 2 years after that, the Homeland Security decided to change the information that they put out and claim that it was sensitive information, and that he improperly disclosed that through non-proper channels. And he ultimately was fired for that reason. We believe clearly he was fired for whistleblowing. And the specific whistleblowing that he was fired for pertained to him disclosing danger to the health and welfare and safety of American citizens, which is one of the provisions of the Whistleblower Protection Act.
So this was in the fairly immediate aftermath of 9/11, but this was not some wild-eyed crazy thinking with paranoia. He had real information on encrypted devices that he got through real channels that are supposed to track dangers to the country.
Absolutely. He there's two bits of information. The first bit of information is the actual credible threat pertaining to certain flights. He never released that information. What he did release was the unencrypted information that said, hey, we're not going to put an air marshal on these flights anymore. That's what he went to the media, as you pointed out, shortly after 9/11, went to Congress and the Homeland Security Inspector General and said, hey, you guys should not be doing this. You really need to make sure that there's money there. This could be a problem. And he was never charged with anything but releasing that sensitive, it's called Sensitive Security Information, SSI, which is not national security information, but it's unclassified but not FOIA-level material to members of Congress, which ultimately went to the press and the American public.
Now, have you been representing him from the very beginning, or did you come into the case later on?
Well, we don't actually represent him. We represent the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, the Blacks in Government, and the Emerald Society for Federal Law Enforcement Agencies. So our involvement representing those three major organizations is filing an amicus curiae brief. So we're filing a brief as a friend of the court in support of Mr. McLean.
Okay, good. Got that. So now he has been at this for 10 years. What do you know about his life in the intervening years here?
It's not been very good. You know, going for a very long period of time, he was not receiving the same economic benefits that he would have received as an air marshal. You know, ultimately, if the Supreme Court sides his way, he's going to be entitled to back pay and benefits. But the fact of the matter is, he's going to be in a world of hurt. There was a lot of overtime that he's missed out on. There's a lot of promotion advancement that he missed out on. He went to become an air marshal after being with Border Patrol. So there's the real potential that when the Supreme Court renders their decision, if they render it his way, he'll be reemployed and he'll be eligible for retirement. So,
okay, so what are the specific legal points that his lawyers will be arguing next week?
Well, the issue revolves around the Aviation Transportation Act, which created the Transportation Security Administration. The ATSA gave TSA the authority to promulgate rules, not laws, to protect sensitive security information. So what the agency is saying is that the Whistleblower Protection Act bans any communications that is forbidden by another law. So a perfect example of that would be is you can't go and release national security information. That's protected both by other laws, criminal laws. Crystal clear, you're not allowed to go out and release top secret information. Here, it's a little bit wiggly because they're saying the regulation was authorized by a law. So that's how they can get away from the Whistleblower Protection Act exclusion. So we're saying if it's not clearly a law, you know, if it's not national security information, there's not something that says Congress passed a law that says sensitive security information should not be disclosed, then it should not be an exemption from the Whistleblower Protection Act. Saying that a regulation is authorized by law and that makes the regulation the same as law, it defies logic. But that is the agency's position, and that's the position that the U.S. Supreme Court has decided to take. We provided extensive legislative history to show that when Congress passed this, they were talking about things such as national security information that is specifically banned by law from being released.
We're speaking with Matt Tully, a founding partner of the law firm Tully Rinke, and someone who has filed a friend of the court in behalf of the whistleblower Robert McLean, from formerly of the Federal Air Marshals. So then, in some ways, this sounds like it could be almost like an exception in the same way that like the ticking bomb exception to harsh interrogation, maybe. Is that a good parallel in this case?
That is. I think if this exception gets approved by the Supreme Court, the Whistleblower Protection Act will be gutted because every agency has a regulation on the process to release information. They're called Freedom of Information Act requests. So if a whistleblower were to release information that's not in compliance with the Freedom of Information Act request, I would argue, if I was an agency representative, that they are violating the Whistleblower Protection Act. So there's the potential here that what is right now a very narrow interpretation for whistleblowers of what is specifically authorized by law could be turned into something that requires a Mack truck to fill. And that's what our concern is here.
So the court could then, if they rule in his favor, open the way for a complete relook at the whole national security corner of the Whistleblower Protection and the subsequent Improvement Act, because that's really been where all of the tough stuff has happened.
Absolutely. And the issue here is if they go with the agency's position that regulation is the same as a law, there is not a federal agency that does not have a regulation describing how information is to be disclosed. So this will gut whistleblowers, the protections that they have. Right now, if you look at it, if you're a whistleblower, you really got to be somewhat crazy to release information because the ability to prove your case is so hard. You know, it takes a lot of courage for these whistleblowers to step forward. And to give this exception would undermine the whole Whistleblower Protection Act, and we would start advising clients to maybe stay quiet. Because the ability to determine what is and what is not protected by regulation is too overwhelming. The amount of federal regulations are egregious, and to know what is protected under what sections and what areas, it'd be too time-consuming to allocate, and the recommendation would be for whistleblowers not to make any types of disclosures.
Sounds like this could also have an impact on the FOIA Act and on the Inspectors General Act.
Absolutely. The Inspector General's Act, if this is supported, there's going to be a lot less people willing to come forward and help Inspector Generals.
So there are a lot of people that have kind of filed on his behalf. Who are some of the groups that are joining the Friends of the Court here?
Well, obviously you have the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, which we represent, which is the largest organization representing federal law enforcement officers. We also represent Blacks in Government, which is a large organization representing the affinity group of people involved or have a heritage of African-American heritage. We also represent...
Is that the case of Mr. McLean?
No, he is not. Blacks in Government is very supportive of all employee rights, so they are very eager to support entities and organizations and people who can assist promoting efficiency in federal government. Nobody is excluded from Blacks in Government. Anybody can join, but it's an affinity group, just like the Emerald Society of Federal Law Enforcement Agencies, which we also represent. They're an affinity group to promote Irish-American heritage. Same thing with Blacks in Government, but both of those organizations are aggressively supporting this, as they have in other cases, because they believe it's important to promote federal employee rights and making sure employees are empowered to make authorized disclosures. Obviously, the Air Marshal is previously represented by the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association. He was an active member of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association, so they've continued with our amicus. But in addition, there are other organizations, such as several members of Congress, have joined as an amicus and pointed out that, in their opinion, if you grant this exception, it would dramatically weaken the Whistleblower Protection Act. Several former members of government, senior members of government, have joined and filed an amicus saying that if you take this exception as authorized by law to include regulations promulgated from a law, it would dramatically weaken whistleblowers. And then several individuals have filed in an individual capacity.
So why do you?
It's gotten a lot of attention.
What's your theory as to why it took so long over the years for a case like this to make it all the way to the Supreme Court? Because this sounds like some real big stakes here.
Yes, and generally speaking, the federal employment legal field does not move very fast. So if we look at this case, it took a significant period of time at the regional level of the Merit Systems Protection Board. It then went to the full Merit Systems Protection Board and took a considerable amount of time. It then went to the Federal Circuit, which is the actual court reviewing for the MSPB. It took a significant period of time. And now it's finally at the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court will have it for about a year to 18 months before they render a decision. So it's unfortunate, but the system that federal employees have is very slow and somewhat confusing.
So do you think that from the types of questions often that they ask, you can get an idea of how the Supreme Court might rule?
That is the intent. I'll be there. It's November 4th. It's 2 weeks away. I will be there to try and figure out what the odds are. You know, the issues here, there are a lot of judicial ethics or judicial philosophy issues involved in this, such as statutory construction, which is a Republican, or correction, which is a conservative versus liberal judge type of philosophy. So the bare bones of this is pretty straightforward, but it comes down to statutory construction and what did Congress mean when they said by other law, specifically by law.
All right. Well, we'll have to hear what they ask, and I'll have you back to kind of give us a report from inside that chamber.
I appreciate it.